In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. This Sunday, the fifth of Great Lent, we celebrate St. Mary of Egypt. And she, perhaps, is the quintessential example of repentance. We read her life this week. Truly a magnificent and wonderful life. So wonderful that St. Sophronius actually comments parenthetically that there will be those who cannot believe that this really happened because of the weakness of their flesh. And what was St. Mary's repentance? What did it consist of? It's the same for us as for her. It is when our conscience changes, when our conscience convicts us of something. Now, in her case, of course, it was a great shift. She'd gone from leading an incredibly heedless life to recognizing her impurity and going deeply into the desert. She made a complete shift in her life. We make little micro shifts and then we go back and forth. But let us see what the Church says about her repentance. Let us feel it in our heart. We just read it. We just sang it. The pollution of past sins prevented thee from entering the Church to see the elevation of the Holy Cross. But then thy conscience and the awareness of thine actions turned thee, O wise in God, to a better way of life. And having looked upon the icon of the Blessed Maid of God, thou hast condemned all thy previous transgressions, O Mother worthy of praise, and so hast gone with boldness to venerate the precious cross. So it says that thy conscience and the awareness of thy actions turned thee. Now, of course, she was venerating the Most Holy Cross, the precious cross. It was in Jerusalem. It was in a larger piece at that time. And she was changed. But it wasn't the cross that changed her. It wasn't the Mother of God that changed her. It was her repentance and her turning to God that changed her. And this change actually took a long time. If you read her life carefully, it took 17 years from the time of her repentance for her to be no longer plagued with carnal thoughts and imaginings and drinking songs and desire for wine and for meat and for all of the things that she had before. It took her 17 years to be cleansed of those desires. And she wasn't indulging any of them at all. She was in the desert and seeing no people whatsoever, eating almost nothing, being burned by the sun and frozen by the frost. And yet it took 17 years. But the pivotal thing was her conscience turned. And if you see in her recitation to St. Zosimus, when he asked her to recall her past life, she said to him that she was afraid to do so because she didn't want to recall such things so as to be tempted again. So every day of her life, even after her deliverance from her passions, which really occurred, if you read the life carefully, 17 years after she went into the desert, she actually lived a profligate life for 17 years, and then she had 17 years of repentance, which included such things as lying on the ground for a day and a night, begging the Lord to remove from her these thoughts of songs and these desires and these carnal imaginings, and as the life says, a desire for embraces. 17 years of that. But after her repentance, she still thought of herself as dust and ashes and as sinful Mary. So this gives us an indication, brothers and sisters, of how we should live. What we have to do is this. We have to cultivate in ourselves the knowledge of what's wrong with us. That there are things that we just don't do right. And there are things we do that are wrong. We must cultivate this idea in ourselves. The world doesn't like us to do this. Because it's just too hard to do, so the world labels it as sometimes poor self-esteem or as not having faith. Saint Mary had great faith, such that she, when she prayed, she was above the ground, a forearm's length. But she also was well aware of her sinful life and never forgot it. Not a day, not a moment. It's said of Saint Peter the Apostle that he desired to be, when he was going to be crucified, he asked that he would be crucified upside down, because he didn't feel he was worthy to be crucified in the same way that his Lord was crucified. The same Peter, of course, that denied the Lord three times before his crucifixion, during his trial. He never forgot that. Even though the Lord cleansed him of that sin and restored him and told him to feed my lambs, feed my sheep. And Peter, of course, did all those things, fed the lambs and fed the sheep and became a great apostle. But he never forgot that sin. Jude, one of the children of Joseph, sons of Joseph, and an apostle, just like James the apostle. James was one of the 70, apostle of the 70. He never forgot that he sinned against the Lord when Joseph wanted to divide up his inheritance and divide it four ways for four sons. Reuben and Jude and James and Jesus. And Jude didn't want to do it. He said, our Lord was not Joseph's son. So he wanted to divide it three ways. So James offered to have his portion be given to the Lord. And he repented of that sin many times over. But he never forgot it. So how did he refer to himself? Jude, the brother of James. He was an apostle. His brother was not. His brother was not one of the 12. And yet he referred to himself as the brother of James. So this is the kind of feeling we should have to cultivate about ourselves, brothers and sisters. Humility. So that our conscience can turn. Now in our case, our conscience is going to have to turn every day. So we cultivate it with this, with silence, with prayer, with fasting, with reading of the Holy Scriptures and holy things, with long services. Short services don't cut it, really. Oh, they're helpful. But long services really help. And if you don't know this, take me at my word and try it. It'll be hard. Sometimes it'll be boring. Sometimes you'll think, wow, I'm just thinking about everything but the services. But if you go to long services for a long time, it really changes you. It kind of warms you. It shapes you. What other things are there that kill it? Well, how about responding to 500 text messages a day on your smartphone? I think we should call them stupid phones. I'm not so sure that this technology is good for our souls. Oh yes, it can be used in a good way. But now we're flooded by stuff all the time. How about watching a lot of TV? How about reading magazines that are frivolous or even sinful? How about gossip, pride, indulgence of our desires? The list is very long, actually, of the things that kill the conscience compared to the list of things that enable the conscience to turn. It's really a very small list of things that enables the conscience to be changed, and a long list that can kill the conscience. We must cultivate in ourselves, brothers and sisters, this all things that can turn our conscience and make us aware. St. Mary of Egypt lived 17 years of heedless sin. It never crossed her mind during that time that she was sinning. She just did it. She did terrible things. She edited her story, she told Abba Zosimus, because she just couldn't bear to tell him all the things that she had done. But she was not ashamed of any of them until her time of repentance. And then she changed so magnificently. Let me read you one thing also that applies to this from Matins. I read things from Matins as often as possible in this little sermon because, to be honest, the majority of my flock never hears Matins. And I think that it's the most important service that you can attend in the week. Part of that is because it comes in our usage after Vespers, so that there's a time of sort of softening, getting you kind of ready for prayer. It's very hard to pray walking through the door. And also because the content of Matins is so beautifully, intricately theological, but it's not just theological. There's a warmth to the prayers in Matins that is truly amazing. Whether they're said in the morning or in the evening, it does not matter. Truly, this is a service that I lament that so much of my flock does not experience. It's very, very important. So this is from Matins, one of the sessional hymns during the canon. I believe, yes, it's after the third ode. I am held fast in the mire of sin, and there is no strength or courage in me. The tempest of my trespasses has overwhelmed me. Look upon me, Virgin, I entreat thee, for thou hast borne the Word who alone loves mankind. Deliver me from every sin, from all passions that destroy my soul, from every ill inflicted by the enemy, that I may sing with joy. Intercede with thy Son in God, O undefiled, that remission of transgressions may be given to those who in faith take refuge beneath thy protection. I am held fast in the mire of sin. That's what St. Mary felt about herself when she repented. And for those 17 years that she was held fast in that mire, she felt it deeply. And after she was delivered from it and lived more like an angel than a human being, she still remembered. We must cultivate in ourselves this feeling. Ask yourself, do you feel this about yourself? Do you really feel deeply that you are held fast in the mire of sin? That there's no strength in you or courage in you? This is not to be defeated now. This is not to say, I can't accomplish anything. This is to say, I can't accomplish anything without help. We must have this humility about ourselves. If we consider ourselves to be held fast in the mire of sin, it's true. It's true whether you believe it or not. It's true for everybody. Then we will make progress. Because we will beg the Lord for help. We'll beg the Most Holy Theotokos to pray for us. We'll beg our guardian angel to guard and keep us. And the saints to intercede for us. And we will change. And when God whispers to us in those words that cannot be uttered from the Holy Spirit, we will react to them. We'll understand them and we'll change. But we must have the right disposition. And the right disposition is to say, I'm a terrible sinner, the worst of all sinners, and yet God will save me by His mercy. We must cultivate this feeling. St. Mary had it. And we should be in awe of her repentance. But not believe for a moment that her repentance is only a unique experience, a unique event, not to be repeated. No, it should be repeated every day. With us too. God calls us to this level of repentance also. So cultivate this idea in your heart, brothers and sisters. It's not easy to do. Like I said, there's a thing you can do. Prayer and fasting. Giving yourself more time for prayer. The Jesus prayer is pretty much essential. Things you shouldn't do, watching the television and foolish books and gossip and all the rest. But primarily, with all these things that you should do and shouldn't do, you must put your trust in God completely. And that's what St. Mary did, and that's what all the saints did. And the reason we are mediocre is because we don't completely. So may God help us to completely trust in God. The blessing of the Lord be upon you through His grace and love for mankind, always, now, and ever, and unto the ages of ages.